You're listening to The Hawk, 101.5 FM, broadcasting from Mohawk College in Hamilton, Ontario.
Thank you. Good evening, and welcome back to another hour of the Johnny Athens Variety Program. This week, we have plenty more for you. Dr. Hugamy joins us this week in an interview of animals, a special message from the Kelsian broadcast. Jack Benny returns to share with us some of his most memorable moments of Golden Radio. And this week, we have the Sonny Rollins Quartet as our in-house band. But before we get started, I heard a great story I thought you might like. It's about a guy who had a bad leg. You see, one leg was 6 inches shorter than the other, and he had a hard time walking. In fact, he was in pain almost every time he would walk down the street. So one day his son, who stuttered, said to his father, Dad, I think I know something that can help you walk better. His father said, What is it, son? And the boy replied, Why don't you walk with your short leg on the curb, on the longer leg on the street. That will keep you in balance and make your walking easier. The old man said, Thanks, son. I think I'll try that. So the next day, the old man did what his son suggested, and he was walking much better. In fact, he was so happy about it that he walked right off the curb, and a car hit him and knocked him flat. So they had to take the old man to the hospital. And his son felt very badly about it, so he went to see his father the next day, and he said, Dad, I'm so sorry about what happened. It was all my fault for suggesting it. And the old man, being very kindly, said, It's not your fault, son. After all, you are my son and you meant well. You did try to help me. And by the way, my boy, I have a suggestion that will cure you of your stutter. And the son asked, What is it, Dad? And the old man said, Keep your mouth shut. But aside from that, no other news. So, without further ado, let's get this show on the road. Here's the Kelsian broadcast on the Johnny Athens Variety Program. Yeah.
Good afternoon, my little micro minerals. It's me, Macro Mineral Master Luke, and today's broadcast will be about calcium. And more importantly, the deficiency disorder, osteoporosis. Osteoporosis is the deficiency caused when not enough calcium is consumed. Calcium is a very key nutrient to your body. You see, calcium is almost always stored in your bones. This allows for your bones and teeth to stay strong. A little known fact about calcium is that it actually assists in muscle movement as well as helping the transition of nerves between the brain and muscles. Due to the big importance of calcium in our body and the fact that we cannot produce it ourselves, it is recommended that we get 1,300 milligrams of it every day. Calcium can be found in dairy products such as cheese, milk, and yogurt, as well as dark leafy green vegetables like broccoli and kale. Calcium can also be found in fish with soft bones, such as sardines and canned salmon. Calcium-fortified foods such as soybeans, cereal, fruit juices, and milk substitutes are also a good source of calcium. Now, what happens if you do not get the required amount of calcium in a day? Well, nothing immediately, but a long lifetime of not consuming enough calcium will lead to osteoporosis. Low calcium intake contributes to diminished bone density, early bone loss, and increased risk of fractures. Eating disorders that restrict food intake cause people to be underweight, which then weakens the bones. This happens in both men and women. As I previously mentioned, someone with osteoporosis will not have any symptoms right away, but as they get older, back pain, loss of height, a stooped posture, and bones that break much easier than expected become signs that you have osteoporosis and a big calcium deficiency. Now, osteoporosis is 4 times as common in females compared to men. Caucasian and Asian women are also the most likely ethnicities to develop this as well. This is said to be because of the increased alcohol intake and smoking in these 2 ethnicities opposed to others. Treatment for osteoporosis depends largely on age and gender, but preventing it is simple. The easy consumption of fresh fruits and vegetables, more calcium-rich foods, and an intake of vitamin D are all shown to prevent osteoporosis. If you are a long-time viewer of Nutrient Mania, you will know it's time for some fast facts and trivia. The first trivia question. Canada has a population of 37 million. how many do you think are currently affected by osteoporosis? 2 million. Fast fact. Both men and women begin to lose their bone density in their mid-30s. Trivia question number 2. What is more common? A fracture due to osteoporosis? A heart attack? Stroke? Or contracting breast cancer? Fractures due to osteoporosis are more common than heart attacks, strokes, and breast cancer combined. To end the show, these are some simple yet tasty meals that are high in calcium. Greek yogurt parfaits, grilled shrimp pizza, and a 3-cheese and sage ravioli. These delicious meals and their recipes can be found on my website, NutrientMania.com, below. Thank you for listening to another episode of Nutrient Mania. I am your host, Macro Mineral Master Luke, and don't forget, stay nutritious. Yeah.
Thank you.
Sonny Rollins Quartet with Paul's Pal.
Now I would like to direct you over to the interview portion of the program. This week we are gracious enough to have Dr. Haywood Uhagami. For many years he has been the official veterinarian at the Toronto Zoo. His cage-side manner is highly spoken of by convalescent gorillas and ailing hippopotami alike. Good evening, Dr. Uhagami.
Good evening, Johnny.
I think before we start, one thing should be thoroughly understood, Doctor. You're not going to charge us for this visit tonight.
No, Johnny, this is purely a social call.
Fine, then. Now, Doctor, you're the veterinarian surgeon at the Toronto Zoo. How long have you held this medical post?
23 years.
23 years. I guess when you started, Moose Jaw was only a calf. Tell me, Doctor, who are some of the carnivorous invalids you have restored to health?
I've treated lions, tigers, leopards, bears, hippos, elephants, meerkats, you know, etc.
Oh my, in other words, you've administered first aid to about anything that walks on more than 2 feet. What, in your estimation, is the chief cause of sickness among your caged clientele?
Oh, it's the public, Johnny.
You mean the animals keep looking at the people until they can't stand it, and they start throwing back the peanuts?
No. But many people think it's funny to feed all kinds of trash to animals. Cigarette pods, fruit skins, bottle caps, almost anything you can think of. All sorts of rubbish.
I understand. I hardly enjoy all sorts gummies. I thought gastronomic donations were prohibited at all zoos anyhow. There are signs about it.
Yeah, I know, but the feeding is always done when the keeper's back is turned. If those people only knew the harm they did to animals, they'd never feed them at all.
Well, that's true. Tell me, Doctor, what surgical operations are most common among the animals? Have you ever taken out a giraffe's tonsil or a mink's knee replacement?
No. But I have treated a lion for an ingrown toenail. You see, Johnny, when a lion is confined, his nails grow to extreme lengths and cause him to limp around in pain. I amputated the claw that's causing the problem.
Does Leo resent having the privacy of his toes invaded? You do take some precautions.
Oh, yes. First the lion is roped, and then he's given a large piece of wood to bite on.
The wood is a stand-in for you.
No. It distracts the lion and keeps him from biting the rope in two. Meanwhile, as a further precaution, he's securely bonded with another rope.
You don't actually start your spa day until the patiently... You don't actually start your spa day until the patient is practically a bundle. How does the lion feel about this hempen approach? Does he sense you are trying to ease his pain?
Yes, after one of these operations, I've had the lion try to lick my hand.
Ah, that must explain this gnarly scratch.
No, that is from a fishing incident. A catfish jumped off the hook and bit me.
The king of Lake Tatamagooch, hear him glub. I wouldn't trust a lion, Doctor. He might lick your hand off up to the elbow. Tell me, Doctor, does the zoo own a beast that has been noted for its beauty?
Yes, we had a beaver named McKay. He was so perfect that he was a model lead for the other beavers at the zoo. He died about 3 months ago.
Probably a broken heart when O'Toole took the leadership. Doctor, what amount of food is consumed in one day at the zoo?
Oh, boy, well, about 400 pounds of meat, 8 bushels of fresh vegetables, 1 bushel of assorted fruit, 10 bales of hay, 5 bags of oats, 30 quarts of milk, and about 50 pounds of fish.
My, oh my, and an occasional keeper or two for dessert?
No, our animals get plenty to eat, Johnny.
I know, but most wild animals do have a tendency to consider the human race a snack bar. I heard about a keeper at some zoo who stepped in to feed the leopard and was never heard from again. When they tried to call the poor lad, all that was heard was a series of dings coming from inside the leopard's stomach. But the keeper, in part or in total, apparently remains an abdominal recluse. But since we're on the subject of food, Doctor, which animal's diet receives the most attention?
The monkeys, Johnny. Unlike the other animals, the monkey is fed 4 times a day.
Well, that sings of gluttony, Doctor. What does the ape man's diet consist of?
Well, for breakfast, a monkey has bread and milk or cereal. At 10 o'clock, he gets a large dish of fruit. The luncheon menu is wild rice, sweet potato, lettuce and spinach. At 3 o'clock, he gets celery and more fruit.
Passé bananas and whatnot?
No, our monkeys get the best fruits. Cherries, strawberries, melons, or mayhaps even some peaches.
Doctor, I'm going to ask you a great favor.
What is that, Johnny?
If things get tough for me around here, I'm tying a tail to myself, going up to the zoo and telling the chimpanzee to move over.
And what is the favor, Johnny?
If you're going by someday and see me in one of those cages, no cracks.
I won't, Johnny. And good night.
Good night, and thank you, Dr. Haywood U. Hugamy. You just heard an interview with Dr. Hugamy, head veterinarian at the Toronto Zoo.
Up next, we'll have our Golden Memories of Radio with Jack Benny. But first, My Reverie by the Sonny Rollins Quartet.
Thank you. radio was responsible for many great inventions. The ladies in particular took to their hearts one such development, the daytime serial. Now, this kind of drama was unique and owed its success, I imagine, to the fact that it dwelt on real kinds of problems that were solved 5 days a week. The characters became family friends. Listeners wrote with advice, sent anniversary gifts, holiday cards, and remembered birthdays. It didn't take long for the daytime serial to be known affectionately as the soap opera, named after the sponsors. Let's listen in.
Lorenzo Jones. The rocky road that winds through Joyland Amusement Park, the Jones' latest venture, is paved with good intentions, the chief of which is Lorenzo's plan to sell his newly discovered sulfur water as a cure-all. He's persuaded Bell to let him try it out, using their chicken barbecue stand as a base for operations. Lorenzo's nephew, Henry Whitcomb, thinks, as always, that his Uncle Lorenzo has something there. Henry's wife, Nellie, suddenly stage-struck, is interested in a screen test, ever since a moving picture director working with a group of actors in Townville has casually asked Nellie to come over and watch them work. Today, Lorenzo, Bell, and Henry are at the barbecue stand preparing for the first customers to try out Lorenzo's sulfur water. Let's listen.
All right, Henry, then if you'll grab hold of the other end of this barrel of sulfur water, we'll set it right here on the counter of the barbecue stand.
Now, Lorenzo, you and Henry be careful. Don't knock over those glasses and dishes I've stacked up.
All right, we'll be careful, Aunt Bell.
Easy, Henry. Turn to this side with the spigot facing us.
Yeah,
that's right. There. Now, my good wife, we're ready for the crowd that'll come here today to try out my sulfur water.
Well, dear, I only hope your new health drink won't interfere with the sale of my barbecue chicken.
Well, Belle, you see, the healthier they get imbibing my super sulfur potion, the more portions of chicken we'll sell. That's right, Uncle Lorenzo.
Sure.
The healthier I feel, the more I want to eat. Gee, do you think we'll have a big crowd out here today?
Big crowd, Henry. Well, here comes the first auto of the cavalcade now. You'll find people coming out in droves, thanks to the power of American advertising genius. Another $50 worth of handbills, judiciously distributed, and we'll have everybody in the world calling for sulfur water.
Well, dear, maybe you're right, but aren't we supposed to have a permit or a license to sell a health drink?
What, a permit to help people regain their vim, vigor, and vitality? Well, Belle, who ever heard of the Good Samaritan with a druggist license,
well,
huh?
I suppose I'm wrong, but things are always happening to us, and...
The following program will be interrupted for any important war bulletins. And now, the romance of Helen Trent. Romance of Helen Trent. The real-life drama of Helen Trent, who, when life mocks her, breaks her hopes, dashes her against the rocks of despair, fights back bravely, successfully, to prove what so many women long to prove in their own lives, that because a woman is 35 or more, romance in life need not be over. That romance can begin at 35.
Just Plain Bill. Danger threatens Bill Davidson and Nancy, his beloved daughter, and Kelly Donovan, her husband, because of the mysterious, sinister actions of Ira Brewster, who beat Kelly for district attorney by lying about Nancy's supposed parentage.
Why, it's you, Mr. Willoughby.
Hello, Bill.
Well, I didn't expect to see you way down here in Hartville again tonight. Why, you look all in.
I am rather tired, Bill. It's been a long, confusing day for me.
Here, Mr. Willoughby, sit down. Let me call Nancy. She's back in the kitchen. I'll have her bring in some hot coffee. Maybe you'd like something to eat.
Oh, no, Bill, thanks. Don't bother Nancy.
Oh, Nancy will want to hear whatever you've got to tell me. Oh, Nancy.
Yes, Daddy? What is it?
Mr. Willoughby's here. You better come in. Oh, and bring some coffee, will you?
Oh, yes, Daddy. I'll be in a minute.
Life was never simple and easy for the real-life characters in our soap operas. Marriage, separation, illness, even death played a part. The heroines came from all walks of life, even from the theater itself.
And now Mary Noble, backstage wife. Mary has been the victim of a false friend, Armand Dalubac, who took her diamond engagement ring with the promise of having it repaired. But instead, Armand pawned the ring and tried to blackmail Mary and Larry. And when Marcia Mannering tried to make it appear that Mary was in love with Armand and had given the ring to him, she turned Larry violently against her. And thereupon, Marcia conspires with Armand to get even with Mary and Larry. When Mary and Larry later discover that the ring has disappeared from the shop, Mary is heartbroken. And Larry resolves at last to notify the police.
Well, Mary, here's our story in all the afternoon papers.
Yes, Larry, I've seen it.
Famous actor reports theft of wife's jewels to police. A very concise and accurate statement of facts, I'd say. And you certainly can't feel that this is very damaging publicity, Mary.
You got around it very nicely, Larry.
Well, the police have cooperated, too, in not revealing anything to the press except what's printed right here.
But why, well, I still have the sinking feeling that something bad's about to happen, Larry. That doom's hanging over our heads.
Well, I've managed so far to keep those reporters from getting a hold of me. They've been banging at the door all morning, clamoring for more details. But if I can just continue to duck them, I don't think that any more will leak out.
Oh, it's not only the reporters I'm afraid of.
What do you mean? You're taking this thing awfully hard, Mary.
Oh, Larry, what's going to happen when or if the police do catch Armand or whoever it is that has my ring?
Well, we'll just get the ring back and prosecute the scoundrel, that's all.
But don't you see? You'll still have to go through all that mess of a criminal trial.
All right, baby, so what?
But unless we can be perfectly sure of presenting the facts believably, the public will turn against you. They might think on the face of it that you're prosecuting an innocent man.
Mary, I wish you wouldn't be arguing against me in this thing. I've done what I think best in order to get back your engagement ring.
I know you have, Larry, dear, and I love you for it.
As radio changed its role, old favorites faded from the scene. For example, I know that many people shed a quiet tear with Ma Perkins. I suppose our youngsters would say cornball or square. And now, CBS Radio brings you Ma Perkins. Well, what could be more appropriate today than to turn the clock back to join Ma and the folks at Thanksgiving dinner? Ma and the family have so much to give thanks for. Let's join them all. They haven't yet sat down. In the kitchen, we find Fay and Evie and Ma. Listen.
Shuffle and Willie are so hungry. Come on, honey. Let's get the cranberries. Look at the turkey.
And now, here's Ma again.
Thank you, Dan. This is our broadcast number 7065. I first came here on December 4th, 1933. Thank you for all being so loyal to us these 27 years. The part of Willie has been played right from the beginning by Murray Forbes. Shuffle was played for 25 years by Charles Eggleston, and for the last 2 years by Edwin Wolfe, who was also our director. The Fay you have been hearing these past few years has been Margaret Draper, and the part was played for many years by Rita Ascott. For 15 years, our Evie has been Kay Campbell. Helen Lewis plays Gladys, and Tom Wells has been played by both John Larkin and Casey Allen. Our announcer is Dan Donaldson. Our writer for more than 20 years has been Orin Tavroff. Ma Perkins has always been played by me, Virginia Payne. Care to write to me, Ma Perkins? I'll try to answer you. Goodbye, and may God bless you.
Another kind of daytime radio program was the interview show. Perhaps you remember two of the most famous as the Noontime Kate Smith Show and Mary Margaret McBride. Now, Mary Margaret McBride is still on radio in many cities. Certainly, she must own a record, for her first broadcast went on the air in New York, May 3rd, 1934. Her guests have ranged from the great political figures to folks in the news.
I don't know whether this is really a respectful way to speak about a vice president, but one of the boys who do some work around your office, Mr. Vice President Barkley, said to me, "Doesn't that guy ever get tired?" And I said, "Well, how would I know?" He said, "Well, I didn't mean you to answer the question. It was just one of those rhetorical questions."
Yeah.
He just said that you tire them all out.
Somebody at the Meet the Press yesterday out in the audience asked me that question, if I never got tired.
And what'd you say?
I said, I have never had a feeling of fatigue or exhaustion in my life. I've always worked hard, but it may be a bad thing, because if I got tired, I might go off and lie down and rest now and then. But never getting tired, I just keep on.
Uh-huh.
That's my answer, and that's the truth. I never do have a sense of fatigue or exhaustion.
Never in your whole life. I bet you that means you don't worry.
No, I don't, really. I don't mean that I don't think things over seriously, but I've got a philosophical view that worry, it doesn't solve anything. And they tell me it creates ulcers in the stomach.
Yes, I've known them to get it. Now, Mrs. Barkley, you can tell us whether he really lives by this or whether this is one of those things men say now and then.
No, it really is true. I can't possibly keep up with him, and I can tell you a cute little story about him that someone told on him when he was campaigning in 1948. It was either in 48 or 50. And he was touring very, very terrifically heavy schedule over Kentucky in a very small plane, which was piloted by a good friend of his, and a couple of the young men that were helping out, my husband out, were along also. And he'd been hopping all over Kentucky for weeks and speaking here, there, and everywhere, making 5 and 6 speeches a day, and he had all the men absolutely beat down. He, of course, feeling perfectly fine. They got in the plane to take off to go on to their next engagement, and the pilot, who's an old friend of my husband's, said that he just absolutely was so worn out from this terrific campaign and from trying to keep up with him, with not nearly enough rest for an ordinary, normal person to go on, that he was at the controls, of course, and to his utter horror, he suddenly came to and realized that he had dozed and found the vice president very calmly just flying the plane. He knows nothing about it whatsoever, at all, absolutely nothing. And the pilot was so frightened for just a minute, he didn't quite know what to do. It gave him an awful shock. And he said, Oh my, Mr. Vice President, he said, for goodness sake. And my husband said, "Well, that's all right, Charlie," he said. "You look like you were kind of tired and need a little nap." Of course, it was one of those little bitty planes, I must explain it. Almost
Charlie
fly
Gartrell,
themselves. Yes, it was Charlie Gartrell. And he said, "You just whipped him down, absolutely."
Oh, I don't know how you do this thing. But I certainly would have been a little bit. That means he's never afraid either.
No, he hasn't a nerve in his body, not one.
Now, back around 1926, radio invented something else, sponsors. Sponsors have provided comedians with more jokes than the Los Angeles smog. Red Skelton made his first radio appearance in 1937 on the Rudy Valley Show. And soon after, he was credited with this comment: "The longest word in the English language is the one that follows." And now a word from our sponsor. But one of the reasons both radio and television were able to provide free entertainment of the highest caliber was the advertisers who paid the bills. I'm sure you'll find a chuckle or two in these famous radio commercials. The first you hear is from Interwoven Socks, reputed to be the first singing commercial. The singers are the famed Billy Jones and Ernie Hare, who were known as the Happiness Boys.
How do you do, everybody? How do you do? Gee, it's great to say hello to all of you. I'm Billy Joe.
I'm Ernie Hare.
We're the Interwoven Pair. How do you do?
Smoke dreams come smoke rings while a Chesterfield burns.
Barbasol, Barbasol, the
your brush with shaving cream supreme leaves your face so smooth and clean.
Pepsi Cola hits the spot. 12 full ounces, that's a lot. Twice as much for a nickel, too. Pepsi Cola is the drink for you.
Rinso White and Rinso Bright.
L-A-V-A, L-A-V-A.
This is Sandy Becker saying, keep cooking with Crisco. It's all vegetable. It's digestible.
Longines is not lightly called the world's most honored watch. For Longines watches have won 10 World's Fair grand prizes and 28 gold medals. Longines watches have also won more honors for accuracy than any other timepiece. Longines, the world's most honored watch, is a product of the Longines Whitnor Watch Company.
That's all the time we have for today. I want to thank you for listening, and I sincerely hope you enjoyed our show. Be sure to tune in next week when we have even more fun. We're going to have some games, some more golden memories, and some more wonderful music, all for you. Special thanks to Dakota Maxson, Luke Dakotas, Marie Cassidy, and of course, the Sonny Rollins Quartet. I hope you all enjoyed. Take care and good night. Stay tuned to Hamiltopia, coming up next on 101.5 The Hawk.
You're listening to The Hawk 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
Do you want to make a difference? Do you want to help the children of our community? For just over a dollar a day, you can change a child's future. Approximately 25,000 children in Hamilton live in poverty. That's why City Kids is here to help. With various programs, we help over 2,000 kids per week, from gifts for the kids on Christmas, even our amazing Red Bus service, plus so many other great programs to help build our youth's future. With faith, hope, and love, City Kids is transforming lives one child at a time. Visit citykids.ca. That's kids with a Z.
I've had this problem for a while now. It's my heart. My wife is really worried. I just keep telling her it's going to be okay.
For someone in need, you can be the difference between life and death. Do you really need another reason to donate blood?
Because I'm having surgery tomorrow.
You can save a life right now. Call 1-888-2-DONATE to book an appointment today.